Hi there, everyone. It's James and Vanna, and we are here for the It's Your Move podcast. And we kind of ended the last one a little bit abruptly because we were getting quite deep, and it would have ended up being a two-hour podcast if we didn't kind of close it off. But we are still talking about healthy discipling relationships, and we've been going through the 6 points that we've been discussing in church. And we have already done a podcast on consistency. We've spoken about ownership. Last time we spoke about relationships, and specifically the points on sincere interest, on investment, and on vulnerability. Let's talk a little bit about the fourth point, which was teaching and training.
That's right.
In my mind, again, it's one of those ones that becomes a lot clearer when someone is first a Christian, and it has certainly in my experience become a little bit more vague in terms of what that looks like as we become more mature in our faith. And yet it shouldn't really, should it?
Well, yes and no. I think part of the vagueness usually comes in if you're in a discipling relationship with someone who is much closer to being a peer than someone that's maybe ahead of you spiritually. Okay. And that's very normal, and that's going to happen. And the older you get as a Christian, the likelihood of that would be higher, where you'll end up in relationships where we can be in a discipling relationship, and I have certain strengths, you have certain strengths, and we can help one another. Mm-hmm. I think that's when it, to a degree, gets muddy. Mm. Where it doesn't get muddy is that I still feel, although it might look different, because how you train a young Christian, and that's even why, should you use the word teaching, training, most probably both, is you and I, and again, we've had these conversations before, I certainly and hope that if you have concerns about me, well, you recently, we won't now make it public, but I know about 2 weeks ago you mentioned a concern to me. I don't know if you can remember that.
I don't remember these things. No, I'm joking. I do.
So you mentioned a concern for me, and my experience of you, and it wasn't that you were attacking me, but that you were asking, trying to understand something and a certain concern that you had about me and my life and my leadership, which I think I'm very grateful for. But that needs to be there, because we do see each other, we do interact. So the training might be very different. So in the younger Christian, the training might be more, let me train you ahead of time. The older Christian might be a lot more how we even see each other respond to certain things, interaction with our kids, our spouses, experience of disappointment, frustration, how do we handle those, the tongue, how we manage that, and picking it up. If we are both mature-ish Christians, then that should certainly come up in conversation, because we are certainly not without fault.
For sure. Yeah, I think, I mean, we've made the point before, and it was part of the sermon, was the idea that, yes, a younger Christian, the teaching role is something that you need, and it's a lot more clear, those lines. It's, hey, notepad out, this is the first time I've ever read through the whole Bible here. Please answer my questions. Mm. Wow, this is the first time I've ever started to live a life without A, B, and C, and you know, it's awkward, and my friends are saying things, and whatever that can be. I used to not take spiritual leadership of the family. Now I'm taking spiritual leadership of the family, and I don't know how to do it. Please teach me. So I think that's a lot clearer, and I would say that if you are listening and you are a young Christian, and let's just say under 5 years as a disciple, and you haven't been teachable and you haven't had the notepad out, you are the one missing out. The foundation will be weak if you don't, you know, if you're not open and you're not being taught on a regular basis. But I think with the older Christians, one of the things that did come to mind recently in some conversations was the idea that sometimes, even though you're a peer or you're close to being a peer, there's also a
you're
reason...
Not talking about Pierre Muller or...
Pierre, I'm not talking about you, if you are listening. If you are a... Yes, you might be a peer in many ways, but there's a reason why you are discipling me and I'm not discipling you. And it's not that you are, it's not that one of us is better or, but very often it's related to, leadership. Mm. One has been tasked with leading a family group.
Sure.
And so you are then shepherding the group. And what came up in a conversation was how interesting, there are certain things that a leader, there's certain scriptures that need to be obeyed and a call from God that's very unique. We were having a conversation even in our own small group about hey, listen, God calls me to shepherd you. Hmm. And that is a call that I have that's very different. You don't have that call right yes. now, but I have that call.
And a responsibility, not just a call. Yeah.
Exactly. And if I'm not faithful to that responsibility and to that call, that's on me. And so, if you just don't pitch up at family group, and you don't tell me, and I call you because I'm concerned, that's, if I don't do that, then I'll be judged accordingly, because that's not being a good shepherd.
Nor is it loving,
exactly. And there was something interesting about that even in peer, semi-peer discipling relationships, there's also a need for humility that, hey, listen, right now you're discipling me.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to allow myself to learn what I can. And of course, there'll be things that we can teach each other. But right now, God has placed me in this relationship, and I'm just going to learn what I can. And God will give grace to my humility. And I think it's definitely something that was on my radar a little bit, because I think it can get awkward when you feel like, hey, we're the same age, our kids are similar. Mm. I'm not here as Yoda. We've spoken about Yoda before. But yet still, you know what, God has put me in your life, and I'm going to help you in the best way I can.
Yes, and let me ask questions and let me be a learner on the one side. On the other side, okay, I'll even say this. Let's say you and I are peers, not Beer Miller, but peers. And let's say you are a little bit ahead of me. You can also make the mistake of thinking, because you're only a little bit ahead of me, that there's not much training required here.
Yes.
And you actually neglect me then.
Yes.
Because our desire, again, is His name and renown to be the desire of our hearts. Our desire is to bear the image into the garden that we're expanding. And so if we're in a healthy discipling relationship and you feel responsible for me and you have an interest in my life, then you should be training me in something.
Mm.
There should be, and not that you're looking for stuff under rocks, but as you pick up on stuff, certainly you are supposed to help me.
Mm.
Follow me as I follow Christ in 1 Corinthians 11. So then there needs to be that where we can help each other. Mm. And where it's greatly needed is if we don't get this training. And I've seen this, and maybe we can touch on this for a moment. And I'm not sure if we're just going to do this one part, if we're just going to do this one point, though. But I would like to talk about it if possible. Is, for instance, the idea of what I see. You could say I'm a younger parent because my kids aren't adults, but I see younger parents, for instance, with small kids, either not getting the teaching and training that they need as parents, or ignoring it.
Mm.
But so I see how we live in a generation where people are completely consumed by their children and their whole life revolves around the children. And this comes with a baby where I'm not going to influence the baby's schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go for my discipling time because the baby is sleeping. And if you don't come to me, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to attend that event because the baby is sleeping. And the baby, everything is about the baby. And I mean, that's the worst thing that you can do, because you are raising a completely entitled child.
Mm.
And that's going to look horrible at teenager stage. Now, how am I supposed to know that? People must teach me, and they must help me and help me to see those things. And so that's, again, teaching, training. And with all three of our kids, people have taught and trained. And to this very day, and I've got a feeling it's not going to change, in terms of even when my kids become, when they've moved out of the house and they're 30 years old, I don't know how to have a 30-year-old child.
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't know how do I still have influence in their life, but I'm more of a friend than what I'm a father.
Mm-mm-mm.
Maybe I'm a friendly father. I don't know, but it's, I'm going to need help. I'm going to need teaching and training. And I do think that there are many missing elements around this in our congregation that I've seen with younger families, where they are completely consumed around the children.
Mm, 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 mm.
So that's sort of a little side point, but I feel like I had to get that out, at least throw it in the air that we can talk about it. And maybe, here we go, we are, it's your move.
Yeah.
So maybe your move is to ask your discipling partner, people responsible for you, do you feel like I'm consumed by my children? Do you feel like they are the rule and reign? Because remember, children can be idols. And I'm not saying, listen, I also try and invest an enormous amount of my kids relationally and on every level, but more particularly relationally. And I need to make sure that they don't become idols, that there's a balance. Yes, I can't be out every night and never see my kids, but I can also not be home every night and never see other people. And reach out to them and help them. What example am I setting? I mean, there's so much. We can do a whole podcast one day on parenting, I take it. But I think there's a danger in that. And therefore, again, the need for training.
Totally. And I guess the point here, you know, because I think we can do a podcast on it. I think it is a good point. I think the point is, if that's happening, so if there is a scenario where you have created an idol out of your child, and I've definitely been through a number of phases like that and some phases of repentance as well in between, but it is a real challenge for me. Mm-hmm. I do feel like that is a weakness of mine. But I think what's the scary point is, do you have a discipler? They see it, but they're not helping you with it.
Yes.
Then there's a problem. You are either not teachable and trainable, or they are not sincerely interested, or there's a number of things. But if there's sin in the camp, if there's idolatry in the household, and you don't have someone teaching you, training you out of that, then there's evidence that there's something wrong.
Now, one of the ways where I've seen where people are not able to see this, and where I had an advantage, is people tend to be friends, which is normal, in the same life phase.
Yes.
Okay. Which means we both now have young kids, and we're both making idols of them, and we're both not realizing it. Yeah. And I am your discipling partner.
Yes.
Okay. And now I know people say, okay, well, I then just want to be discipled by someone who's got older kids and they're Christians and this and that. And that would be a very ideal story, which we simply don't have the capacity for. It means, though, that I need to be a learner. So if I've got young kids and I don't know how to do it, and I'm your discipling partner, as the discipling partner, as the discipler, it is my responsibility. I cannot give what I do not have. It is my responsibility to make sure that I get input into my life about how to be a godly dad so that I can pass it on to you. So in other words, that it's not that you need to be the beneficiary of my spiritual pursuit.
Yes.
My desire to raise my kids in a God-honoring way. There needs to be a fight for it. But if both of us are goofing off, and I think, again, with some of the younger parents, there are groups, little tribes that are formed. I think we even have this, and again, I'll put my hand in a hornet's nest. I think we even have that around things like drinking. Okay? So I think that we have, and some might be very surprised at me saying this, but I think we have drinking clans. I'm talking about alcohol drinking clans in the church. And obviously the Bible does not say we cannot use alcohol, and people will quickly say, but Jesus changed water into wine. That's always very convenient. But where there is a spirit around alcohol that is not healthy.
Yes.
Okay. And where there's a comfort that alcohol brings, that is a problem. I'm not willing to give up drinking. I cannot picture my meal without a glass of red wine. Those are all red flags.
I can't relax unless I get home and pour myself a glass of wine.
Yeah. And this is not really going to be a fun evening if I don't at least have a beer.
Yes.
Okay, those are all red flags that there are problems. And I know that there are most probably people being very unhappy with me saying that now, but it is what it is. The reality is that when birds of a feather flock together, and so it's that same deal where we are now people together doing the same thing, instead of one saying, guys, this is something is off here. Something feels there's a bit of a discomfort for me in our attitude around alcohol. I know the topic is not alcohol, the topic is teaching, training, and most probably our next one on accountability. But we need teaching and training, and we need accountability, and we need people to call us out, and we need people to ask the uncomfortable next question.
Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about accountability. That was the fifth point, and I think it's as with some of the other points, I think it's a missing step in often in older discipling relationships where there's a sense of, hey, we're in this together, so I don't want to be your headmaster checking up on you. When in some ways, that's the one thing that we need the most.
Oh, totally.
It's just someone to say, hey, you said this last week, how's it going? You know, and I think we just are all too weak to do this life without healthy spiritual accountability.
Yes.
And yet I think for many of us, we've lost that in our discipling. Mm. It's just not a strong enough part where we are, hey, you set the agenda.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold you accountable to something that you don't, you know, this is not top down. I'm going to set the agenda and make sure you do it. You set the agenda. I'm just here to serve. It's a servant role. But I think we're not serving in that way.
We're not. And accountability is transformational. If I think why I'm such a strong believer in it is because that's what helped me to become a Christian. And that is what helped me to realize my need for God and what it is that God wanted to do in me as a person and in our world was someone following up. So I grew up going to church as a child and all my teenage years. I read a lot of Bible and a desire to do so, but no one ever held me to an account as to what it is that I read, whether it was influencing me. And then whatever, almost 27 years ago, someone reached out to me and started teaching me about the Bible and asked me if I wanted to get to know the Bible better and if I want to make it my standard back then, is what we said. And I said, absolutely. And then the next time we got together, he asked me, so how did it go? Now, it went well, but I was super surprised that he was asking. I remember us doing a Bible study on sin and him confessing a lot of stuff and his life historically before he became a Christian and stuff that he was working through now. And I thought, sure, this dude's got a lot of stuff going on there. And then he asked me, so how about you? How are you doing in these areas? And I thought, what is he nuts? I mean, again, it was a form of calling to an account. And if I look at the, if you may, we're always supposed to be growing, but if I were to say, what were the growth spurts in my life, historically, as a Christian, it is most likely where I was called to an account on something. Because it grabs my attention. It's not that I necessarily don't even want to work on those things. It's not serious enough. And the fact that you call me to an account, and we think account, we think very negative. It's just someone asking us, how's it going with that? Sort of like, what? And it's like, I would be in conversations, I'm sure it's had with me, where someone says to me, so how do you feel about what we spoke about last week? And I'm like, what did we speak about? What did we speak about last week? So clearly it wasn't as important on my radar as it was on the person. So I think the teach to obey obviously is partly connected, but I think it's an indispensable quality. And I think that is ultimately what will distinguish disciples of Jesus from the religious world.
And I think even though, you know, the whole point of training and teaching, it's if you have 30 discipling times this year and all of them are individual little conversations, as opposed to it's actually one long narrative where there's a constant holding to account and a going back, and we are, this is actually one conversation as opposed to these little check-ins that have a start point and an end point, and what was brought up was never to be brought up again. I think it's, you know, we miss the power of kind of walking with someone through this life.
Well, you miss heart surgery. Okay, because someone asking what I mentioned, and I've taught on this for years, is what I call the uncomfortable next question, is we all see it. Most basic example, you are saying you want to become a Christian, you want to spend time in the Bible, you're going to do it every day. Now, next time we meet, I ask you, okay, so James, so how's that been going? Now you start, and it wasn't going well, but you obviously feel too embarrassed to say that, or you're just not going to be honest. I mean, you must have done it, you didn't. You said you're wanting to draw close to God, but you're not. And so you come with some or the other, oh, I was too busy, I was this, I was that, I was this, I was that. And then we, in fear, do not call the person to some form of loving account and saying, okay, if you say you were too busy, what were you too busy with?
Mm-mm-mm.
And then talk it through. Mm. So in other words, because as long as I can, I'm trying to deceive you,
mm.
but in the process, I'm also deceiving myself
mm-mm-mm.
without realizing it.
Mm-mm-mm.
So I start to believe my own lie.
Mm-mm-mm.
Of I'm telling you, you know, I was too busy, just didn't have time. And as the more that narrative is running, the more I'm believing it myself.
Mm.
If you ask me, so what were you so busy with? Now I need to stop and think and say, well, work. Okay, well, so tell me more about your work. When does work start?
Mm.
And that starts at 8. Okay, so didn't you have time beforehand? No, I just quickly shower and grab a cup of coffee. Okay, well, so what time did you get up? And I'm not sure, but last time I think you said to me that you would want to get up an hour earlier. What happened to that idea?
Mm.
And then the uncomfortable silence.
Mm.
And now we wait.
Mm.
Because what did happen to the idea?
Mm. And that's a conversation of accountability.
Correct.
As opposed to, oh man, I'll pray for you. Mm. I know things are hectic at the moment. Yeah. Yep.
And it's not, I think sometimes people can view accountability as harsh. I'm being harsh with you. And if you're being harsh, then you have a problem.
Mm.
This is not about being harsh. It's about being kind.
Mm.
And asking, because now we're saying, okay, you did say an hour, I'm not using a simple example, but you did say an hour earlier. So what happened?
Mm. Mm.
Now you are confronted with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to ask yourself, what did happen?
Mm, mm.
Was this all just religious talk?
So, and you get to, you know, if your discipling is consistent, you get to reset pretty quickly.
Mm.
Like, okay, false start.
Yeah.
But resetting, whew, okay, you know, attempt number one didn't go down so well, but let me rejig and amen, thanks for the conversation. And an
totally.
And versus now 2 months go down the line and nothing's happened.
Totally.
And it could and the heart has got hard.
I was going to mention another example where I've seen this happen, but I forgot. Okay, get back to me.
On the accountability, on the accountability point, maybe there's something we can close off and can talk about growth, growth next time. Is I almost feel like handing out gold stars. I've had some scenarios where since these sermons have been going on, people have come to me literally and said, "Hey, James, 6 points. Tell me how I'm doing."
It's wonderful, I am.
No complication, no wanting to explain, no. And I mean, I'm, you know, my pride very much wants me to give you the 6 points and explain where I am on them and why I think, you know, and I want to control the narrative.
Yeah.
And again, it's my own pride. And I feel like, well, I know I'm not doing well here, so I don't need you to tell me that. You know, obviously the arrogance there is huge. Wonderful conversations. Just, hey, 6 points, let's talk. Tell me what your experience of me. I've got blind spots and I want to do better. I know I can do better. I almost feel like having gold stars and walking around the fellowship. And if you've done that, to get a gold star, because that's where the accountability starts.
Totally it is. And we all need it. It could be me saying to you, my marriage needs attention. Please pray for me. I mean, it's such a, I don't even know, I want to know what to call that, because I say to you, please pray for me, but you never ask me about it again.
Yeah. There's no details. I don't know what I'm praying for.
Well, you don't even know what you're praying for. So one is, sure, sorry, bud, man, I didn't know that you were going through. What's going on? What are you guys experiencing? And then asking some questions, getting to know the picture. But then do pray for me. But then also, in a week or two's time, is how do you feel like it's going now? Not just with your marriage, whatever the issue was. Let's say I'm constantly defensive with my wife and I'm not listening. So how do you feel like it's going with the listening now? We go back to, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is, yes, I am.
Mm.
We all need accountability. We all, and sometimes the accountability is just the mirror. In other words, I can't see myself for who I am and what I'm doing, which I'm constantly finding myself, unfortunately, in that place. And someone holds up a bit of a mirror, and that's calling me to an account. Because I'm realizing, oh my word, there's spinach in my teeth. And I didn't realize it. I don't think God wired us to do this life without accountability.
Yeah, yeah. There's no doubt, no doubt.
So there needs to be, and maybe people have issues with accountability. They need to then figure out why. Why do I have an issue with it? Did someone hurt me historically? Let me work through that.
And be open about it.
Yeah, be open about it. Or is it just, I don't like it because I don't want to squeal? I mean, I have been, and I remember I was a young minister, and the guy discipling me, leading me, he asked me about how's it going with someone that just moved into our fellowship from a sister congregation, and whether I've been able to get with them. And I haven't. And the reason I haven't was that it was just not a high priority for me. And it's not like I laid around at home doing nothing, but it was just not a high priority for me. And I'm clearly, by him asking that, I should have picked up and said, this is obviously a priority that I missed. So I said, no, I just had a very busy week. So he said to me, busy with what? And I said, all kinds of things. So he said to me, okay, well, do you want to take out your calendar that we can just see? And I mean, at that time, I didn't even have to take out the calendar. The point was, it's not like the calendar was jam-packed. Sure, there were things in it. It was just, I didn't put it in the priority that it should have been for someone who was a weak Christian moving from an outside congregation and could make a world of a difference if I engaged with them quicker. And that conversation was many years ago, and I remember it to this day. I keep on reflecting back on that, because what I should obviously have done is right in the beginning just have said, oh, dude, I didn't pay attention to it. You seem on a different level than me on this. May I ask why?
Accountability.
Accountability. Our, what is it, that thing of sort of love-hate relationship with
totally. Hate, more like hate.
Yeah, well, it can be hate. It's transformative. It can do so much in your world for you, but it is incredibly uncomfortable, and that's why I also call it the uncomfortable next question. Yeah. And people will rather what I've seen in my world, particularly with my kids as well, they will rather cut themselves with broken glass than sit in a conversation with me where I ask the uncomfortable next question. And I've asked them. They don't feel I'm harsh with them. It's not a harshness thing. It is a, I don't want to answer that question, because answering that question brings my heart out and shows me what I need to pay attention to and I don't want to. And we all like it. I'm like that. So, that's accountability.
And I think it's a high calling, and I think it's, you know, your faith is worth it. And if there's a part of you that would rather be lukewarm, that would rather not be growing, would rather be comfortable in your sin because you dislike the feeling of accountability, then you need to, you know, you need to get honest with that. And I love my comfort, and it's, you know, it's not pleasant, but I think we need to love God, and we need to love His ways, and we need to love His family and His kingdom enough to overcome the feelings of discomfort that we don't like.
And if you particularly, let's say you and I are in a discipling relationship, you're keeping me accountable and I feel like you're doing it in a poor way, then let's talk through it.
Let's talk, absolutely.
And say, sure, James, sometimes I feel like when you do this, I feel like you're harsh, I feel like you don't ask questions, you just jump in and you just say, Vanner this, Vanner that. We can talk through it adult people. And so I need you in my life, but this might be more helpful and talk it through.
Totally.
Amen.
Guys.
I need to be somewhere in 5 minutes. That's further than 5 minutes away from here.
We'll speak again soon. Have a great week, everyone.
Sorry, just before we run on Sunday, just a reminder, this Sunday we're starting how to help other people know God.
Yes.
And we're going to take a look at the Bible studies of what used to be called First Principles. I just wanted to give a heads up that we can prepare ourselves emotionally for that. And then we can tie that in the next podcast. We can tie growth into that as well.
Amen.
I mean, thanks, everybody.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers, everyone.